I want us to pull up those words again about where talking about it was one for me. If you can find those, Megan. You know, you sing this song and we sing the words, but there's a lot of things that stand out in this line, and we need to understand this. Christ is my victory. He's not trying to win. He's not in the game right now. It's won, right? Christ has won. It is won for me. It's not, I'm still trying to fight through it. It is won. It is finished. When it was done on the cross, it was won. It was won. We can't keep living like we're going through this battle. It is won. It is won. There might be a setback, but it is won. For us, each and every one of us, it is won. And it's a simple word, because sometimes we sing that and we're like, well, maybe I'm winning, but we're not winning. It is won. We have victory, don't we? And we need to start living like that, don't we? See, sometimes, oh, it's cold, or I stubbed my toe, or this didn't work out, or that didn't work out the way I thought. Oh, God, just help me get through this. Help me get through this, God. No, it is won. We know He's getting us through it. We know He's got the solution. There's the answer there, because it is won. He's my victory. I don't have to go through the battle knowing whether I'm going to win, not knowing whether I'm going to win or lose, because it's won, isn't it? It's won. It's won. We need to start living like we have the victory. We need to start living like it's won. And not living a defeated life, not living a beat up life, but living that victorious life that we are promised. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your victory. God, we thank You that it is won. That we don't have to go through life knowing whether, trying to figure out if we're going to win or lose this battle. Because it is won, it was finished, and we have victory. So God, I pray that today, if we don't get anything else out, I pray that today we get out that it is won. That You have got the victory. It is finished. It is over. We are victorious in You. So God, thank You. I pray that You will impress that upon each and every one of our hearts. Father, I pray that today, as we have a chat here, God, I pray that You would just encourage us. Father, give us a new tidbit of wisdom about where we might be going as a church. And God, I praise You and thank You for each and every person that is here today. And God, for those that aren't here, Father, we lift them up, whether they're sick. God, we pray that those that are on vacation would have a good vacation. Those that are just away for some other reason, that You would give them protection on the roads. Father, thank You for every opportunity You give each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may have a seat. Thank you, music team. Well, it's been a fun couple weeks. I don't know if I told you guys, if you watch the Facebook video, you'll know that I'm taking another class at Horizon, at our Bible school, which has been, we'll say, challenging. I haven't been in a class, in any class, in 20 years, over 20 years, and I don't even remember how to write a paper. I'm like, I just know how to give facts. That's my job, I give facts. And so you got to learn those soft skills that they want you to have to write papers and to study for tests, which, I mean, let's be honest, I barely studied for tests when I was in high school. And now I got to study for these tests because they're important. But it's good. I forgot to mention earlier during announcements, too, that I won't be here next week. Stacy and I are going to take a little week-long vacation. So we've got a really great gal from Saskatoon coming to share with you guys, so it's going to be a good time. I've heard her message a couple of her messages, and she's an encouraging girl. So come out. I think she's a fairly young girl, but so don't bring your young guys thinking you're going to match make. I don't know if she's married or not, but she's going to come share with you. So it's going to be good. So we're going to continue on talking about natural church development, though, and these eight qualities we've been talking about last week, the week before. So, eight characteristics, eight qualities of churches who are healthy. And it's more about looking at the context about how we can get healthy in here so as a church so that we can be more effective out there. That's what we're talking about. So, having these qualities is good, but having them in the right way is even better, right? So healthy churches, they don't just have leadership. They have leadership that's empowering. They don't just have ministry. They have ministry that is gift-based. They don't have just spirituality. They have spirituality that is passionate. They don't just have structures in the church, but they have structures that are effective for the body. They don't just have worship services. They have services that are inspiring. And they don't just have small groups, so they have small groups that are holistic. It's easy to set up small groups. Did you know that? It's very easy. I can say, well, you four are a small group, and you four are a small group, and you guys get together every Thursday. Okay, break. Go. But you're really not effective in it. Holistic small groups are much more effective. What do I mean by that? And we're going to get into this more in 5-6 weeks. But when, as individuals... Erla calls up Audrey and says, hey, let's go for coffee. And maybe you grab Terry and you guys go to Tim Hortons for coffee and just get together and just share what's going on with life. Maybe you encourage each other, build each other up. Spend some time maybe talking about some scripture that's been impacting you. That's a holistic small group. Much more effective than me saying, okay, you and you and you are together. It's gathering together to care on each other, to love on each other, to build each other up. Holistic small groups, and we're going to get into that, like I say, more in the next few weeks. And then we're going to talk about evangelism. It's another one of the qualities, but not just evangelism, but evangelism that is need-based. So something I've discovered since coming here is that there's a ton of single moms in town. So maybe that's a gap. Maybe that's something we need to fill. Maybe there's stray dogs. I don't know. I'm just throwing out things. Stray dogs in town, lots of stray dogs, and we're going to take up a ministry to match these dogs to people. I don't know. I'm just kind of being silly here, but you know, right now I don't know what these ministries look like, or these evangelisms look like. We're just working through the process because I have a few ideas maybe where our evangelistic needs might need to be, but we need to work through that. And then the last thing though, the last quality is relationships, but not just everyday regular relationships, but relationships that are loving. Relationships where we show we care for each other. Relationships where we show care. Because it's easy to say hi to somebody on the street or hi in the church. But are you in a relationship with them? Are you loving them? Are you caring for them? Are you showing care to them? So those are some of the things we're going to talk about. So as I said, that first week of talking about NCD, we talked about empowering leadership. And we talked about how empowering leadership isn't just finding leaders who push and execute my goals as pastor, but ones that the Holy Spirit guides them, empowering them to maybe achieve the mission that God has given them and empowering them, giving them the tools to go on. So that was quality number one. Then we got quality number two, which is gift-based ministry. And that's what we talked about last year, so gift-based ministry. And I don't know if I hit this one home quite clear enough. When I say gift-based ministry, people always say, well, what's your spiritual gift, right? That's a common term that we use. What's your spiritual gift? And that's not what I'm saying here. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. It's what gift has God given you? Because all of our gifts are spiritual gifts. I'm not sure if I've ever said that before like that, but every single one of our gifts that we contain are spiritual gifts. Why? Because God has given them. God has breathed them into us. Holy Spirit empowers us in those gifts. So that's what I mean when I say maybe that they're spiritual gifts. But we want you to be operating in your gift-based ministry, in the gift that God has given you. That's the type of ministry we want you operating in so you can be more effective. Because as a statement I made last week is when you live in harmony with your gifting, you're no longer ministering out of your own strength, but it's the Holy Spirit's working in you, driving you, leading you. And it becomes much, I don't want to use the word easier, but it's easier to do when you're operating out of your gift that the Spirit has led you to, right? You're not under your own strength anymore. So, the third quality this week we're going to talk about is passionate spirituality. So this is kind of a abstract title, right? I don't know painters, but Picasso, I think, is an abstract painter. So let's just call this my Picasso title. Passionate spirituality. Abstract. So I'm going to ask you a question, and it's going to be a rhetorical question. Don't worry, I don't want hands up, okay? Is your spiritual life characterized by passion? Rhetorical question. So I want to say a few things about a church's passionate spirituality. And what I want to say is really this. It doesn't matter your church's style. It doesn't matter your denominational doctrine to make your church grow. You could have killer worship, or you can have, you know, some guy up here that barely knows chopsticks singing and leading people in music. Realistically, research shows that it doesn't matter the church style as far as church growth is connected, which was interesting to me. I was surprised by that. You know what matters for church growth? It's the degree to which faith is actually lived out with commitment, with passion, with enthusiasm. That's what matters. That's the difference. This is what set churches apart. Those that are connected, or that committed with faith, committed with passion, enthusiasm towards Jesus, living that out in their everyday life, or those that are not, and those that are just going to church on Sunday because their mom made them go to church when they were kids, so they just go every Sunday because it's a habit now. That's what set churches apart. And this is what growing churches see, as opposed to non-growing churches. Now, I'm not, please hear me when I say this. I don't want Mary just playing chopsticks on Sunday. Guys, that's all part of the enthusiasm, the passion, the commitment, right? It's all part of it. But it's not just saying, well, it's because they're a Baptist church that they're growing, or it's because they're this church that they're growing. No. It's about where is their faith and commitment level? Where is their passion? Where is their enthusiasm lying? Are we just going to church to go to church, or do we actually believe it? Are we actually passionate about it? Are we actually committed to it? Are we actually enthusiastic? So there's one discipline in which Christians have achieved kind of a sad success. And we have this invented countless strategy for destroying spiritual passion. There's a study conducted of thousands of churches that had, and they had an interesting discovery. Sorry, I got to make this bigger. My eyes are getting old. And the time that people spend in prayer has only a minor correlation to the quality of the church and its growth. Whoa. Dave, I don't agree with you. I need to spend 3 hours a day in prayer. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not speaking against spending a lot of time in prayer. What I'm saying is, well, I'll tell you what I'm saying in a second. Whether or not prayer is viewed as an inspiring experience has a significant relationship to the quality and quantity of the church. So it doesn't necessarily matter your time in prayer. It matters the quality that is in that prayer. If you're just there and you're like praying for 3 hours, but half the time you're thinking about what sort of accessories you want to put on your truck, or are you actually seeking God's face? Are you spending time connecting with Father? Are you spending time hearing what Holy Spirit's speaking to you? See, quality and quantity are two different things, are they not? Last I checked, right? The same can be said about spending time reading the Word and personal use of the Bible or spirituality in our life, I guess. You know, we can spend a lot of time and not really be very effective, or we can just spend good time. Do you know what I'm saying? So the secret to passionate spirituality is to bring three things into balance according to NCD. Sorry, I really forgot to give you signals today, Megan. So the three things, if I can make three things. Word-based. We need to cultivate a form of spirituality that is truly based on the Word of God. The second thing is we need to be Spirit-dedicated. So our spirituality needs to be directed by the Holy Spirit. It can't be, Rick, I'm sorry, I'm going to use you today. Can't be Rick saying, Dave, I think you need to go here, here, and here with the service today. That's what I was thinking anyways, you know. It kind of would work for me because then I want to get home and watch a football game later. No, it needs to be us seeking what Holy Spirit's taking us and directing us and leading us to, right? And the third thing is it needs to be world-focused. Now, whoa. We're not supposed to be looking at the world. We're not supposed to be doing things that the world does. We're not supposed to be of the world, are we? No, that's not what I'm saying here. Relax. Let's just chill. Take a deep breath. That's not what I'm saying. We need to be focused on the world because we need to be focused on them, what they're doing outside. We need to be praying for them. We need to reach outside of these four walls. Kind of what I've said since my first day here, right? That's what I mean when I mean world-focused. We need to worry about things in here, the people in here, but we need to be looking out there all the time and thinking about how we can reach them. This doesn't mean a compromise. It doesn't mean we can compromise any of these three things. If we compromise any of these three things, we're going to fall into apathy. What we need to do is develop these three things, right? We need to be fully Bible-centered, Spirit-led, and focused on reaching the world for Jesus. So word-based living. When David put his faith in the Word of God, he boldly stepped in the Valley of Elah to face Goliath, did he not? He put his faith in the Word of God. Likewise, when the army of Israel, put their faith in what they were feeling and their perception of what they were seeing, what did they do? They retreated on their fear. When we trust in the Word of God, when we trust in the promises, when we trust in what it says, when we know the Word of God, we can advance forward. Right? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active." It's not a book that was written for that back then, not for us. It's living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates into or even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is life-giving. God's Word is life-changing. It has this power to impart faith, increase our courage, and develop character in us. Holy Spirit character. And when we face life with reliance on the Word of God, we are no longer trusting in our own resources, are we? But we're trusting on the supernatural resources of God. When we're trusting on our own resources, like I said earlier about the victory is won. The battle's won. When we're trusting on our own resources, what happens? Oh, I can't get by this. Oh, I can't get by this. And then I broke my iPad. I can't get by it, right? I can't do it. Oh boy, I don't know how to put this back together. Let's see, there we go. I wrecked my iPad. I was telling my wife this week I wanted a new iMac. or MacBook, sorry. But you can't get by it when you're walking on your own. You're going to fight. You're going to battle. You're going to struggle. You're going to claw. You're going to tear. And you're not going to get anywhere. I am really a poet this morning. You're not going to get anywhere. But when you are walking on faith-based, Holy Spirit, Scripture-driven life, you can move forward. So the second thing is Spirit-directed. We need to be Spirit-directed. Now, we could be here all day talking about living a Spirit-directed life. And we could be here all day reading scriptures after scriptures after scriptures of living a Holy Spirit-directed life. It's something we should know when we're word-driven or word-directed, right? When we're in the Word of God, that's something we should know. Here's a couple scriptures for you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring in your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. How about John 16:13, where it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to your And he will declare to you all the things that are to come. And I don't even have a kid here to get me a glass of water. Nathan, could you get me a glass of water? When the Spirit comes, we need to follow where it's directing us to go. Because, as Scripture tells us, one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It's the Helper, right? It leads us. It guides us. Thank you so much. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to empower us. The third thing is we need to be world-focused. As I said, so many of us would get our backs up against the wall, but I know you guys know what I'm trying to say here because I've been here long enough. You know what where my heart is for us to be reaching out into the world, to be focused on the world in that way, not focused on the world to say, how can we get more of the worldly things in here and all that. No, but to be focused on praying for the ministering to the people that are not in these walls. I'm going to say the simplest thing. Anybody that's not in these walls or in any of the folks that aren't at the Alliance Church or the other churches in town, people that just are not connected to Jesus, that's what I'm saying when I say this statement. They need Jesus. Now, maybe there's people in the Alliance Church or maybe there's people in here that need Jesus too. We obviously do, but maybe you're not connected to Jesus yet. Well, that's the case, but I'm making that statement on the fact that everybody in these four walls is a believer, has a relationship with Jesus. Everybody at the Alliance Church has a relationship with Jesus. Everybody that's not in a church right now doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. That's what I mean when I make that statement, so please don't hear me wrong on that. They need Jesus. Now, you could hear comments like, saved? Saved from what? I don't need any saving. I have a pretty good life right now. And the thing is we need to just keep loving those people and just keep showing them how awesome Jesus is, how blessed we are because we have him. But I want to read you a scripture of our way that we can be world-focused. And it's Matthew 5:13-16. And it says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all those to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Guys, when we're worldly focused, when we're focused on reaching them, we need to have our flavor. We need to be believers who live by faith. Ones that are focused on the scripture. Ones that know the scripture. Ones that are word-based, right? We need to be ones that, we need to be spirit-driven, spirit-led, spirit-directed. If we're not spirit-led or spirit-directed, what does that mean? It means I'm driving me. And you saw how I threw my iPad like that on the ground when I'm driving me, right? It's not good. We are never as effective when we're self-driven. We need to be spirit-directed, spirit-driven, spirit-led people. We need to be different. In life, if we want to live this passionate spirituality, it's just not a matter of pray more or read your Bible more. But it's a matter of doing these things with quality. It's not just read your Bible more. It's read your Bible. Focus on what He's got for you. Dig in. Seek Him. It's not just pray and you'll be good. You'll be good. Just go pray some more. Nathan, you're not getting it. Go pray some more. Come back to me when you're done praying more. No. It's seek His face with everything in you. Seek what He has for us. Know that He's got a plan. Know that it's won. Like that song we sang this morning, we have victory. So don't just pray to just pray and say, well, I've been in here. I'm going to set my timer for 25 more minutes. And once that, I should be good. Once that 25-minute timer's done, I'll have been in here for 17 hours and 25 minutes. That should be enough time. God should be leading me now. No, spend time, actually quality time, undistracted. Because for that 17 hours and 25 minutes, 17 hours of it, you might have been thinking about the game or what you're going to get your kids for next Christmas or where you're going on holidays or what type of truck you're going to buy next or should I put a 6-inch lift kit or a 12-inch lift kit? I don't know. But rather, we need to be spending time focusing on Him, spending time hearing His voice, spending time shutting off all those other distractions and just listening to Him. I get it. There's things that happen. You got kids. You got this. You know, you get an emergency phone call. But when you're in your time with Him, are you giving Him everything in you? Are you listening with every piece, every ounce of you? Or are you just listening for the next distraction? Because I think too often we listen for the next distraction rather than listen to what He's got. And our with worldly focused, we're going to talk about this more with evangelism. I'm going to invite the team up. See, I told you I was going to be efficient today. But when we're worldly focused, are we just out there running? I made sure that lid was on before I threw this around. Are we out there running every which way, doing whatever we need to do? Or are we focused on where our gaps are, where there's a need? And are we reaching out effectively by being Bible-based, by being word-based, by being Spirit-directed, allowing the Holy Spirit to drive our ship? Ships are slow-moving. Did you know that? That's why I use the word ship. I don't say sports car, because sometimes as a body, we need to move slowly so that we don't miss something and so we don't miss someone. Guys, I encourage you, as we continue to walk through this NCD process, as you do the survey process, as we talk more, as we continue on through this path, I encourage you, if you're not doing it right now, spend some quality time in Scripture. Spend some time hearing where the Spirit's telling you in your prayer closet. In next week, it's not going to be that cold. Do a prayer walk. I would encourage you, and we're going to be doing this because I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to cold, but we're going to do a prayer walk around Rosetown coming up in the next couple, probably I would say 6 weeks. We're going to do a prayer walk for our community. And if the folks from Fisk want to do one around Fisk, we'll go do one around Fisk with you guys. If you want to do a prayer walk around your home, your acreage, your farm, We'll go do a prayer walk with you there, because we are going to be, and it's not about, oh, we're going to go here, and it's not like Oprah and everybody's getting a car, but it's about, I want to join you guys in your walk through this whole spirituality piece. I want to join you as you become more spirit-directed, spirit-led, spirit-driven. Milden wants to do a prayer walk. Let's go, John. I'm ready. Whenever you want, except not when it's minus 40. Wait till the polar vortex is gone. But we need to be people that spend quality time with Jesus. We need to be people that are focused on the hurting out there while we focus in here. It's that 1-2 punch. I'm not going to back off of the 1-2 punch. Because I think that, like I said last week, I think there's that misconception. It's a 1-2 punch. It needs to be here and there. Every time. Guys, spend time with Jesus. Let's get passionate about Him. We need Him more than anything. We need Him. We need His guidance. Would you guys stand as we pray? God, we need You. And we are so thankful that because of Jesus, it is won. We have victory. But God, we need You. And Father, I pray that as the days and weeks move on, that we would spend time getting passionate about the things that You're passionate about. That we would be passionate and hear Your heart as we spend some quality time in Scripture, as we spend some quality time in prayer. Father, I pray we would get excited and stirred up for what You've called us to do. Father, I pray that our heart would be broken for what is breaking Your heart, this lost, sinful world. God, I pray that we would minister to the people in here as effectively as we minister to the people out there. I pray that we would put as much care on the people in here as we do out there. God, I pray for Your encouragement to each and every one of us. God, encourage us to press on, to strive for what You have for us. Father, let us be passionate. Let us show some joy and some emotion for You. God, we thank You that You've stirred each and every one of us. I pray that this stirring wouldn't just be a gentle stir, God, but that this would be a blender that shakes us to the core and changes our perspective. God, I praise You and thank You for each and every person that's here today. God, I pray that today will be the day that they decided to get passionate for You and passionate for the things that You've called us to. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, would you stay standing and sing with Mary as she leads us in one last song, and then she's going to pray and close you guys out.
Talking about being saved, I heard that statement this morning that said, we aren't just saved from something. We're not just saved from evil and destruction. We're also saved for something, for a purpose. And God has good plans for us and purposes for us to do His work. And I think it really ties into what Dave was saying. And so we're going to sing Promises and talks about the good plans God has for us. And I just encourage you to focus on that. Focus on what God's leading you to do for Him in His plan.